Well, praise the Lord. It's great to be in the house of God today. You know, this morning I was reading the scriptures, and I believe that for me personally, the year 2006, the Lord gave me a scripture, Psalms 26 for the year 2026. Amen. And specifically in verse 8, it says, Lord, I love the habitation of your house, the place where your glory dwells. Hallelujah. A lot of people don't know Psalm 26. We know Psalm 27 because Psalm 27 is famous because David said, the one thing that I desire, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Now, we all know the psalm, but we don't know Psalm 26. But ladies and gentlemen, you can't dwell in the house of God unless you first love the house of God. Amen. And I want to encourage you to say to the Lord, Lord, I want to love you and I want to love your house. Hallelujah. You can't love Jesus and hate the church. You can't love Jesus and hate God's people. You got to love the Lord and you got to love the church. Amen. And as you begin to cultivate this love for God's people, I believe God can bring us into Psalms 27 to behold the glory and the beauty of the Lord. We need singularity of purpose and we need singleness of vision in this hour. Amen. Can someone say amen? Hallelujah. You know, this last year I had a vision when I started the year. I had a vision to lose 10 kilograms and by December I had 15 to go. Amen. But this year I started the year with a diet of melon and cauliflower. But I realized I've been very melancholic in the last few days. I don't know why. All right, praise the Lord. I want to talk to you about living with an unveiled face. And my text is Revelation 22 and verses 3 to 5. And this is, of course, a beautiful a vision of what is going to happen in the new heavens and the new earth. It says, there shall be no more curse, and the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Watch this, please. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. There shall be no lamp or the light of the sun. For the Lord God himself gives light, and they shall reign forever and ever. All that God is doing right now in this house, all that God is doing in the church, is to prepare us for these three things that are mentioned here in Revelation chapter 22. Number one, there will be no more curse. This is the ultimate result of the redemption that Jesus wrought for us. Number two, they shall see his face. This is the ultimate purpose for justification. And number three, they shall reign forever and ever. And this is the ultimate destiny of all the saints. Now, allow me to unpack this a little for you. Number one, they shall no longer be any more curse. One of the things that's going to be absent, completely absent from the new heavens and the new earth, is there shall be no more curse. The curse that entered into creation because of Adam's transgressions will not only be completely nullified and reversed, but there won't be a single trace of the curse any longer. There was no curse in the garden, and there will come a time in the future where there will be no longer any more curse on this earth. Amen. Number two, we shall see his face. I believe that this is the ultimate longing of the human soul, to see the face of God. Now, I'm going to circle back to this in a few moments. And number three, they shall reign with him forever and ever. This is our eternal destiny. We shall reign as kings and as priests, and this is part of the Melchizedekian priesthood that God is preparing us now for. My focus today is on the second great blessing, and that is we shall see his face. And I don't know of anything that I desire more, anything that I long for more than this. This is my one consummate desire in my life. I had prophetic experiences. I have prophetic dreams where I've seen silhouettes of the Lord. I've seen him walk. I've seen him sit down, but I've never seen his face up close, face to face. And a face to face encounter with him is the longing of every saint, of every generation. And his promise to us is we shall see his face. Now, I know that this is a future promise, but the challenge for all of us here is to appropriate this right here, right now. And John tells us that we shall see him as he is. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Isaiah says that our eyes
shall behold him in his beauty. Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my commandments. And if he keeps my commandments, I will manifest. I will show myself. Boy, the language is very plain. He says, I will reveal my face to him. Hallelujah. Now, Paul tells us that we all with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, what Paul is saying, if our faces are veiled, we will not be able to see or behold him, that we will not be able to behold the glory that David was talking about in Psalm 27. The key words here is with an unveiled face is what I want to talk about. How do we attain this posture where we are in the presence of God with an unveiled face? In the 8th chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark, there was a blind man that was brought to Jesus from the city of Bethsaida. Bethsaida was one of the cities that had a very resistant towards the gospel. They didn't believe the miracles of Jesus Christ. After seeing so many miracles, they still did not believe the claims of Jesus. And there was a spirit of unbelief in the city of Bethsaida. So Jesus takes this blind man to the outskirts of the city and proceeds to heal the man. He makes some spit with his with the clay of the mud, and then puts it on the man's eyes. He lays hands on the man, and then he says to the man, what do you see? And the man says, I see men, but they're like trees walking. In other words, his sight was released to him, but only partially. And then Jesus lays his hands on the man a second time. Everybody say second time. Because that's what we are pressing in for today. We want to see God lay his hands on us. Oh my goodness, we want to see God touch our eyes a second time. I've heard several interpretations of the story. A preacher once said that Jesus' faith was not perfect. Another man said the blind man's faith was not perfect. All that is baloney, all right? This story is about you. This story is about me. I'm the blind man. You're the blind man. Because before we got saved, boy, we were blind. The kingdom of God was 6 inches in front of your nose and you could not see it. And you could not see it because there was a veil over our eyes, and that veil made you incapacitated to see into the Spirit. But the moment you believe, listen to this, my friends, the moment you believe, the heart is connected to the eyes. The moment you believe, something happened, your eyes were open, and you saw the kingdom of God. One moment you didn't see, next moment you saw. That's the nature of revelation. And I want to say this to you. Everything starts with you believing. Hallelujah. Sight is the function of the eyes, but vision is the function of the heart. You don't just want to have foresight, or you don't just want to have hindsight, or you don't just want to have insight. You want to have true sight. Hallelujah. And the only way you can have true sight is that you believe. And when you believe, your eyes are open and the veil is removed. Every time you believe, every time the Lord says, can you believe me? And you say, yes, I can believe you. Well, I can believe you for my healing. I can believe you for my finances. I can believe you for my family. Every time you say yes to the Lord, guess what happens? The veil is removed. The veil is removed. It's like sitting in an optometrist, and you know, he puts this gadget on you, and then you know, he puts his lenses, and then you know, he says, can you read the chart? And you can read one line and you can't read the rest, right? He says, no worries. He turns and he removes some lenses, he puts new lenses, and then you can read a second line, a third line, and then he puts new lenses and you can read the fourth. And that's what happens. When you say, Lord, I believe, all of a sudden those lenses are removed and new lenses are put in, bam, you can see the next thing, you can see more. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to open our eyes to see things we've never seen before. Jesus said, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Believing removes the veil. That is the nature of revelation. One moment you cannot see, the next moment you see. And revelation simply means the lifting of the veil. Woo-hoo! Come on. I'm preaching so much better than you're responding today. Amen. 5 seconds after he asked the question to Simon Peter, he says, Simon, who does man say that I am? Simon had no clue. He had no clue. He says, more. He, as far as Simon was concerned, he was rabbi, he was good teacher, he was a good man, he was a miracle worker. And the moment Jesus popped that question, the Father removed the veil, and all of a sudden he says, boy, oh boy, you're not from this world, are you?
You're not from this world. He says, you're the Christ. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. I tell you this, my friends, God wants to open our eyes and give us 2020 vision. Amen. Now, for the most of us, when we got saved, we were like that blind man. We see trees like men walking, or men like trees walking. We have spiritual perception, but only partially. And one of the things that we must press in for in 2026 is that we must say, God, I want to have 2020 vision. Amen. And the only way you can have 2020 vision, it's for God to do something delicate to your eyes and remove the veil, remove the veil. He wants to give you the ability to intuit the future. He wants to give you supersized lenses, and he wants to give you clarity of perception, because God works with optical precision. You got to understand this, all right? Isaiah 25 and verse 7 says that he will destroy on this mountain. What mountain was he talking about? The mountain of Zion. He says the surface of the covering cast over the people and the veil that is spread over the nations. What is a veil? It's an obstructed vision. And the first thing you got to understand about veils is that there is a massive veil over the nations. Now, Cornerstone is a prophetic church. We understand something about veils. We understand something about intercession. The more we pray, the more the spiritual ozone layer over the church is broken. And all of a sudden, you'll find that it starts weakening and we start to have breakthroughs. The more breakthroughs you have, the more people are going to get healed and saved. And I'll tell you this, 35 years of ministry taught me at least one thing. It's so much easier when to operate under an open heaven than it is to operate under a closed heaven. Come on, amen. And you know, we must understand that when the people that we're reaching out to, they're blind. The people in the world, I'm sorry, they're blind. That's what the Bible says. The God of this world has blinded their eyes. Every time you share the gospel with someone, you got to begin with the premise that the person that you're sharing with cannot see. And so you got to be gentle with them. You know, in a room, a man comes in with a walking stick and he's blind, right? You know, and he stumbles on the floor. We don't say, hey, watch it, pal. No, we don't do that. We're gentle because we know he's blind. He's incapacitated. We make room. We're gentle. We pick him up. Are you okay, sir? Can I help you? And it's the same way we treat people that are lost. They cannot see. And so you don't get frustrated. You should not get angry because they cannot see. They're blind. And the Bible says, Paul says that the gospel is veiled because their perishing is veiled to those who are perishing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 3 to 4. For the God of this world has blinded. He's blinded the eyes of the unbeliever. Now, when a church begins to understand this, boy, we start praying, and all of a sudden there's an open heaven over the church and over the community. People start getting saved easily. People start getting healed easily. What do we call that? We call that an open heaven, by the way, amen. We call that the spirit of revival. God's doing something, hallelujah. And I just want to say that I believe that we are very, very close here in this church, very close to what God wants to give us here at Katong. Listen to this, my friends. I know in the last few weeks, there's been a lot of talk about Orchard and how great Orchard is, and it's wonderful. I tell you this, God's doing something wonderful at Orchard. We had 4 services now, all full house, all right? But God's going to do something in Katong that's going to be very unusual. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, I saved the best for the last year. Hallelujah. Amen. Watch this. You watch this. Amen. The first mention of a veil in the Old Testament was the veil placed over Moses' face. If you recall, when Moses descended from Mount Sinai, the skin of his face was shining. The people were afraid. So the Lord gave Moses instruction. He put a veil over his face. And when he went into the tabernacle, he would remove the veil and spoke to God face to face, right? But when he came out, he put on this veil to conceal the light of the glory of God from the people. That's what Paul was alluding to in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, this veil on Moses' face was a prophetic picture of the blindness that would come upon the Jewish people. Paul said, till this day, in verse chapter 3, till this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies in their hearts. When the Jewish people read the Old Testament, their eyes are veiled from seeing the truth and the glory of Christ. And the veil is still there thousands of years later. Thousands of years later, in spite of the overwhelming evidence of Jesus being the Messiah, they can't see it.
They just cannot see it because there's a veil over them. And you go to Israel today, only a tiny percentage of the Jewish people are messianic. Why is that so? Because there's a veil over the nation and it's there for our sake. I stand here and I say again to you, I love Israel. I stand with Israel. And I know that our love for Israel is one of the blessings why God has blessed this house. Amen. But I also recognize the blindness over the nation of Israel. I recognize it. Number two, the second mention of a veil was the tabernacle of Moses. God promised to dwell amongst the people. He said, I want to dwell with you. I'm a holy God, but you're an unholy people. You're a disobedient people. But I love you so much, I want to dwell amongst you. And so he made a tent called the tabernacle. And there he dwelt in a place called the Holy of Holies, a very small area. And the glory of God was over the Ark of the Covenant. And God put a veil, a very thick veil, so that the people could not come in. And only once a year, the high priest on the Day of Atonement could enter into the veil. But it kept God boxed in. So the people cannot see God, but it kept God boxed in. And God says, I don't want to be boxed in. I came down to be with my people, but they are unholy and I am holy. And if I come out from the veil, they would be destroyed in a moment. That's the problem. That's the big dilemma in the Bible. So what does God do? He sends his son Jesus. Come on. That is the solution. Jesus comes and he dies on the cross. And the first thing when Jesus died, what was the first thing that happened? The veil was rent from top to bottom. It wasn't just a veil. It was a carpet wall, 9 inches thick. I tell you this, no human hands could rip the veil. It was an angel that came and ripped the veil into two. It's a way of saying, God says, I don't want to live anymore behind a veil. I want my people to come in within the veil. Amen. Hallelujah. What is the way? How do we enter the veil? I'll tell you how we enter the veil. The Bible says, through a new and living way that he has made for us. You know, when David became king over Israel, he established a tabernacle on Mount Zion and he brought the Ark of the Covenant. But everybody was surprised because this was the only time in the history of Israel there was no veil. There was no veil. People could see the Ark of the Covenant because in times past, they could not see it and live. But now they could see the Ark of the Covenant. And David understood something because he was a man after God's own heart. He knew what God wanted. He knew that God didn't want to live behind a veil. So he removed the veil and they could see the glory of God. And Amos saw this and understood this. And he says, on that day, he says, I will raise up again the tabernacle of David that has fallen down. Come on, hallelujah. Woo! This is amazing. This is God's plan for us to live with him and see him face to face. One more scripture, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19 to 25. Therefore, my brothers, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Oh, Rababahanda Yaramasonde, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hebrews chapter 10 speaks of that new and living way into the Holy of Holies. And if I could summarize the goal of the Christian life, it is to live within the veil. Now, many of us, sadly, are contented to live outside of the veil. Many of us are contented to live in the outer courts for some reason. There's no compulsion in us to move on with God. At the start of the year, we had a fast, and I went for a 3-day full fast, no food for 3 days. And I just want to say that something broke in my life, something shifted. And I thought to myself, man, if I could just extend the fast to 5 days, maybe to 6 days. The last time I did a longer fast was 10 days, no food for 10 days. And something broke in my life. And of course, I lost a lot of weight too. Praise the Lord for that. But I just want to say this, my friends. Listen to this very carefully. Very, very important. The fast broke something and shifted something in our lives. And I feel the Holy Spirit said to Cornerstone, this year, I want the church to pray and fast. Don't just fast internet. Don't just fast Netflix. Fast from food. Got to say to the stomach, stop eating. Hallelujah. No more food for you for 3 days. Hallelujah. Can you do it? That was a very, very weak yes.
So throughout the year, I'm gonna put in my schedule, my calendar, fasting, fasting, fasting. And I want to make sure that I live a fasted life as well. I don't want to just talk about it. I want to live it. Amen. You know, people like Lou Engel and people who have influenced us so much. They were people, they're fasting people. Hallelujah. You know, every time I write to Chris Berkeland, I says, Chris, could you pray for me? He said, Pastor Young, I'll go into a three-day fast just to pray for you. Amen. And they're serious about these things, man. We should start fasting more. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So, you know, I asked my spiritual father, and I'm going to take this to a landing. I asked my spiritual father one time, I said, you know, Brother Bailey, you have had so many great experiences. You've seen the Lord. You've seen angels. You've seen heaven. You've seen hell. You've seen things that we have only dreamed about. What is the greatest experience you've ever had as a believer? And without any hesitation, he said, my Galatians 2:20 experience. Now, Galatians 2:20 is, I've been crucified with Christ, no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I live, now I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. I said, what do you mean? Well, he said, you know, when I experienced the crucifixion, he said, I experienced being in the Spirit with Christ on the cross. He said, I saw through his eyes, I felt his heart. I could see the people mocking him. He had just love for them. That's why he could say, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. His heart was just full of the love of the Father. And he died on the cross. And he said, Brother Bailey said, he told me this. He said, I saw the veil of the temple rent from top to bottom. And the Lord says, I'm allowing you to come in to that new and living way made by the blood of Jesus Christ through the crucifixion. Come on, my friends, I tell you this, there is a higher goal for us today. There is a higher place for us. Mr. Reese Howell's experienced this. Mr. Evan Roberts experienced it. It was so holy for him. He never even recorded it. Catherine Kuhlman talked about the day she died. All the people that we know, that we love, we read about, they all experienced this one day that they died, and then they gave their lives totally to Jesus, and God brought them through the veil, and they lived there ever since. Hallelujah. And I just want to say that God's offering this church this wonderful experience of living within the veil. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Three things, and I close with this, that will separate us from the veil. Number one, sin. Paul tells us, the book of Isaiah says, I want to just read this to you. It says, our iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins has hidden my face, or his face, from you. If you want to see the face of God, you've got to deal with the issue of sin in life, because the moment if there's a sin, there's a barrier and you cannot see his face. If you don't repent of your sin, there is no guarantee that you will ever see his face in eternity. All right. So we cannot assume that our lives are going to be, you know, everything is going to be hunky-dory. I can live my life the way I want to, and then I go to heaven and everything's going to be great. No, sir. You have to live the life that Jesus died on the cross to give to you. Number two, unbelief. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 18 and 19 tells us, to whom did he swear that they will never enter his rest, but those who did not obey. So we see that those who cannot enter in because of unbelief, disobedience is the same as unbelief. If there's unbelief in your heart, you cannot enter into the rest, you cannot enter into the promises of God, and you cannot see his face. And finally, the last one is wrong company. And I'll close with this. Abraham had a nephew called Lot. And, you know, and Abraham loved Lot a lot. Hallelujah. Amen. And he brought a Lot along with him. And you know, God said, I want you to come alone. But he brought Lot. And finally, there came a point in time that they had to separate. Remember the whole experience? And finally, Lot separated from Abraham. Now, Lot, his name means veil. Veil. So the moment Lot separated from Abraham, God said to Abraham, now lift up your eyes and see on the east and the west, the north and the south. He said, all this land I'm going to give to you. The moment the veil was removed, Abraham saw the vision of the promised land. And I want to say that sometimes people have to be removed from our lives. Maybe certain toxic people, maybe some people that you are walking with, maybe in your whatever situation. And when they are removed, and all of a sudden you see with greater clarity. Amen.
And so I pray that the Lord will remove sin, unbelief, and toxic people from our lives. Let's all stand in the presence of God. It's my desire today to really ask the Holy Ghost to move in our hearts, to see the things that He wants us to see. Amen. This is my desire. I don't know about you, but this is the longing of my heart. Oh God, I want to see Jesus. Amen. I want to see Jesus. Hallelujah. Every morning I make sure I tell Him how much I love Him. Every morning I get up, you know, I say, Lord, I love You so much. I want to know You, Lord. I want to love You more. And I feel the last few days have been so wonderful. I don't easily tear, right? I'm not that kind of a person. But I'm finding myself, you know, just tearing and crying in the presence of God on a daily basis. And it's unusual for me because I don't usually do that, right? But I find myself just desiring and longing. And sometimes all I have to do is say, Lord, I just love You. And I feel this emotion, this love just coming out of my heart for Him. Hallelujah. And I realize, boy, I love Him so much. Hallelujah. I can't live without Him. He means everything in the world to me. And I say, Lord, I want to see You, Lord. I want to see You, Jesus. I want You to remove the veil from my eyes. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him. There is none like You. And no one else can touch my heart like You do. And I can search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like You. And there is none like You. Shukaya babuhine mahandai. No one else can touch my heart like You do. And I can search for all eternity long and find there is none like You. With all our hearts, one last time at the chorus, there is none like You. There is none like You. Shakabayonaya mode. No one else can touch my heart like You do. And I can search for all eternity long and find there is none like You. Father, we stand before You today, and the desire of all our hearts is to see Your Son Jesus. To see Him, Lord, to see Him, Lord, is the desire of our hearts, to have a face-to-face encounter with Him. Now, there are times, Lord, we know that Your presence comes near to us and that You are just there, Lord. You are already there. We cannot see You, but we know You are there. It's the same as You are there, being there with us, Lord. But we are asking, Lord, for You to go one step further to us, Lord, to open our eyes so that we can see You and see Your face, Lord. That is the desire of our hearts, Lord, to see the One that we love. Hallelujah. Oh, release that over this house. Release that over this house, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. This desire and longing and passion to know our Lord Jesus Christ, to see Him. Hallelujah.
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.